Welcome to the Bethany Hour. This is Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed. Stay tuned as we look into the book of Luke.
Thank you for taking time to join with us this morning as we look to the Word of God for spiritual direction and its practical application to our lives. Stay tuned. Pastor Adams will return in just a moment. Bethany Assembly is located in Agawam, Massachusetts, at the corner of Route 57 and Main Street. Our Sunday morning services are at 9 a.m. and again at 10:45 a.m. Our contemporary nightlife service is at 6 p.m. Wednesday evening is family night at Bethany with activities and instruction for our children, teens, and adults, all beginning at 7 p.m. For more information about these services and other activities at Bethany, log on to our website at www.bethany-ag Bethanyhour.org.
Welcome to the Bethany Hour, Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed. Once again, looking into this wonderful book of Luke as he writes the story of our Savior and gives us insight into how to live a spiritual life.
You know, it is good news. I mean, there was something that happened, and there's something that's going to happen. And so news is about, you know, something that's happened and maybe a change that has happened and something that we can look forward to. So that's great news.
It is. It seems like it's the total opposite of what we hear today on the news.
Oh, yeah.
Today on the news is very little good news, and people don't want to hear good news. If you put up a good story, they don't like it. They want to have the bad stuff. It's just crazy. The world is flipping out of control.
It is such a strange place, you know, where bad news makes more money.
But it's true. But here's good news. This is talking a little parable here, a little story. Jesus is going to tell us how a blind beggar receives his sight. And in Luke chapter 18, verse number 35, those of you who've been following along, it says, as Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. Now, we have overlooked Jericho when we went on the trip to Israel, that you can't actually go into Jericho right now because it's held by the Arabs. So you can't go in it, but you can get above it and look down upon it. And it is a really steep, deep valley where Jericho is. You can see how it was a dangerous road. It was winding, and there could be robbers on either side of the road, and you could tell how dangerous place it was. And interesting that this man is sitting there begging by the side of the road. I don't think he expected Jesus to come by. Probably not, because then when we read the next one, it says, when he heard the crowd going by, this beggar, he asked, what's happening? What's happening out there? You know, that's the truth. When a crowd goes by, what's happening?
You know, he's blind, so he's got his ears. What's happening, but he can't see. He can't see the throngs of people that are following this man named Jesus, and he hears all the commotion. He hears all the noise, and there's something that intrigues him, and he's got to know what's going on.
Yeah, and if you hear all that noise, like I said, that road was a very difficult road to travel on, so there wasn't a lot of people traveling it.
Right.
So here comes a big crowd coming down, and he hears it. It's kind of like if you're traveling across the country, and maybe you're looking for a good restaurant to eat in. You always look for one that has the parking lot full.
Full.
Full parking lot. So here, there's all kinds of noise going on, and so the man cries out and says, what's happening? What's happening? And so the people around him says, it's Jesus of Nazareth.
Cha-ching.
Passing by. Jesus is passing by. Now, interesting, because you know he's a beggar. So what do you think he's going to be begging for? Obviously, probably for his sight, probably for a lot of different things. But here he calls out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.
Yeah.
What a great statement that is.
You know, like you said, here's a guy that, you know, sitting in this road that probably didn't have a lot of activity come by.
Generally
he hears
not.
All of these people coming by, and he's thinking, I could probably get some money today. Yeah. This is great, you know, because being a blind beggar, you've got nothing. You've got absolutely no source of means. Here comes a crowd. He's going to make it. But then he makes a decision when he hears who it is, when he hears that it's Jesus of Nazareth, he changes his direction and what he's asking for.
And, you know, back in those particular days, there were people that actually could beg. I think the government allowed them to beg, depending on what they were like. In this case, he's blind, so they know he can't work. I know in Asia, in Taiwan, if you were blind, what they did is they helped you and train you to become an acupuncturist or a masseuse because your hands are, your tactile senses are much better because you're blind. And so they're very good at massages or being people who do acupuncture. But back then, I think if a person was blind, they kind of just pushed them aside. There was nothing that he could do. So the only thing he could do is beg.
Yeah.
And here comes Jesus now, and he cries out, and he says, Son of David. Now, right away when he says Son of David, he's thinking that it could be a word of flattery towards Jesus, but it's basically saying, you're the Messiah.
Yeah.
You're the Messiah. Jesus, have mercy on me. He's recognizing who Jesus is, because if he's truly the Son of David, then he's coming from that Davidic line, and that's where the Messiah came from.
You know, that's a great point, you know, to realize that this was probably a Jewish man who maybe had heard the scriptures, somehow was a part of it, and he knew who Jesus was. And once they said Jesus of Nazareth is passing by, it awakened in him a spiritual desire, not for money, not for gold, not even for healing. He's just saying, have mercy on me. I, I don't exactly know what he's called, but he seems like he's calling out just for grace and for mercy in his life. Yeah,
it's interesting because the people told him it was Jesus of Nazareth. They didn't say it didn't say the Son of David. They said it was Jesus of Nazareth.
Yeah.
But here the either by the Holy Spirit or just this man had, like you said, he knew the scripture, he heard the scripture, and he put two and two together and says, "This if this is the Messiah, have mercy on me, Jesus, have mercy." You know, there's a lot of people that when they come to the end of their rope, if you will, they don't even call for Jesus to help them. They don't call on him.
No.
And here, this really helps us to understand, you have to call on him. You have to ask him. Here, he's calling for mercy.
Yeah.
You know, he is a merciful God, and so he's going to receive it in a minute, we'll see. But where are you at? You may be in a situation in your life where you really know you need mercy. Something has gone wrong, absolutely wrong. Do you make your way to a church? Do you make your way and call out to Jesus for mercy? That's the question.
You're utterly helpless.
Yeah.
You're utterly hopeless. You have nowhere where you can go to find relief. You have no one that you can turn to. You sit on the side of a road asking people who are passing by to put some money into a cup so that you can buy some bread, so that you can survive. You can just barely survive. And here, there's a whole crowd that's coming by. There's a lot of money that's walking by him right now, but he calls out for mercy.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
It is.
Because I don't really know. I think beggars probably back then, because the synagogue probably chose people who could beg and who couldn't.
Yeah.
And this man had been doing this for a while. And, you know, in all honesty, I think sometimes beggars, they make more money than you'd like to believe.
Huh.
People on the side of the road. I know they did a study one time in Taiwan of beggars, and their average income for a beggar was about $18,000 a year, which was a lot of money back when they did the study.
Right.
And I knew people that came from England to Taiwan to play in the tunnels or the roadways, under the roads, the walkways, or like you do in New York where they're playing instruments.
Yeah,
and, and they play their instruments, and they were not really beggars, but they were buskers, they call them. And they made a lot of money.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I remember Joe telling us, he went to California one time and he played on a pier, and some woman dropped a $100 bill in his little thing in his case. And so beggars, we look at them, we think, well, they're without help. But they do get some help. But here, like you say, he's not looking for a handout. He's looking for something that's miraculous.
There's something within the heart of man. There's something within this guy. Like I said, his words were carefully chosen. And when somebody hears the name of Jesus, some people respond affirmatively. Some people reject it. Don't talk to me about Jesus.
Right.
I don't want anything to do with Jesus. But when he found out who was walking by him, who was in this crowd, he cries out, "Have mercy on me," because there's something within each of us, like I said, if we are sensitive to it, that when we come in any proximity to God, we're going to cry out for that mercy.
Yeah. And the Bible still goes on and says, those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. And he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me."
Yeah.
So he's desperate, like you said, and he cries out for mercy. And I often think of, sometimes we have a lot of people, we do a lot of good things for people here. We help the poor a lot. I don't know how much groceries we give out, but the money, the food, all the things we do for the poor. And many times those that come and ask us, they, not all of them, but there are a few once in a while that feel like they're entitled to it.
Yeah.
And it becomes a real problem when they're continually coming, continually. And if you follow up their life, they're not trying at all. They're simply just looking for handouts wherever they go. That's the way they live their life. But here, this man, like you say, something's coming from his heart.
It definitely is. And there's two responses. I mean, he's crying out for mercy. And if we don't get God's mercy, we're going to fall under his judgment. So you're going to get one or two. So if you cry out for mercy, you will receive mercy, because he will have mercy on those who cry out to him. But if you don't cry for mercy, you're going to fall under his judgment. And that's the other side of the coin in regards to Christianity.
It is.
There's the justice of God and the mercy of God.
And the scriptures do say mercy, it overcomes judgment.
Yeah.
If you have mercy, it's much better than judgment, obviously.
Amen.
And so Jesus stopped, and he ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near to Jesus, he asked him this question, "What do you want me to do for you?" Now, The first thing I really like about this is that Jesus stopped. Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest, I think there are songs written about when you see somebody on the other side of the road begging, you walk across the side of the road so you don't have to go by them. There's a songwriter, I don't remember the name of it, but oftentimes there are people that actually are doing this. They're asking for money, they're asking for a handout. Yeah. And I walk by a lot of them because I give through the church, and then the church can help do it because I don't know what that person is going to spend the money for.
Right.
But the key thing here, he's a beggar. He makes his living by begging for money, but here he's asking for something that's totally different, which really kind of catches Jesus right away. I think he understands that.
Yeah. Jesus is seeing something in
this guy. Different.
Yeah.
And I have to find myself to a place, I think all of us, where when we look at someone actually doing something here, this man's crying out for mercy, we have to actually stop for a moment ourselves and really consider, what is the inner part of that person doing at that moment? Is it something that's just on the face? It's just for the physical? Or is there something more that's being expressed? And you said it was coming from his heart. I think that was the issue.
There was a deeper thing, and obviously Jesus knows us better than we know ourselves. And when he heard him crying out for mercy, you know, the guy could have been crying out, hey, give me money, give me money, but he heard that word mercy, and I think when Jesus hears somebody crying out for mercy, it does something to him.
I think so. But if you notice, when we were reading this, you notice what happened. Jesus stopped, and when he came near, Jesus asked this man, "What do you want me to do for you?" So now he hears him crying for mercy. I think he's testing to see, well, is that just a cry and I want money, or what does that cry really mean?
Right. Yeah.
And so he asks him, what can I do for you?
Yeah, what do you want me to do? Bottom line. What do you want?
And that's pretty interesting because most people say, well, just throw $1 in, $2 in, you know, whatever. But here, Jesus asks, what do you really want? He says, Lord, I want to see. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know,
you talk about asking for a miracle. There it is.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to go back. It doesn't say he was born blind or whatever.
No.
We have no idea the backstory. All we know is here's this guy, tattered clothes, all messed up, can't see, blind, has no future. You know, in this day and age, has no future. And he says, Lord, I just want to see.
One question, one answer.
One answer.
Simple answer. Nothing profound here.
Right.
He just wants to see.
Here's the deal. Yeah.
Now, you know, and that's an interesting thing because there's a lot of people out there that have already made their minds up on everything and they don't want to see anything.
Yeah.
They don't want to see.
No.
I mean, I've already decided this is the right way to go. This is this, and they don't want to see. They have made their mind up, and they do not want to see anything else. Mm. And this man here, like you say, his heart was open, looking for mercy. He couldn't see. He knew he couldn't see, so he wanted to see, physically see. So Jesus says to him, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Now, I don't see any faith in this man except for him calling out, Son of David. That's the only faith I see. Have mercy on me.
Yeah.
I don't see anything else. Just that. Just calling.
Just calling.
Just calling on the Son of God.
Have mercy
on me. That's it. Just calling.
Yeah.
And he says, that's great faith, and you're healed because of your faith. It's interesting.
It's that mustard seed faith. Yeah. It's just, God, I need your mercy in my life. Everything has gone wrong in my life. Everything has gotten turned around in my life. I can't see. I can't work. I don't have family. I've been ostracized. I'm sitting on this road to Jericho that's a deep, dark valley. I can't even see that, but you know, I'm somewhere. Somebody led me here, sat me down, and said, "Here's your cup. Start begging because this is your life going forward." And the hopelessness that guy must have felt. And then when he heard about Jesus, because I'm sure there were people passing by talking about Jesus, and he heard people talking, and who knows what. And then here comes that guy named Jesus, and then he cries out, "Have mercy on me! Help me!" He's just crying out for help. And that's the God we serve. If you cry out for help, he's going to stop and respond.
Yeah.
That's what Jesus does.
You know, if you've been listening to our radio broadcast, you remember when the rich young ruler just a couple days ago came and he asked Jesus almost the same thing, really. Yeah. He says, Jesus said, what do you really want? You know, the man says, you know, I want eternal life. That's what he was looking for. How do I get eternal life? You know, and this man's thinking that he has to do something.
Right.
He has to do something.
Yeah.
That's it. And here this man simply just receives it. And Jesus says, it's your faith.
Yeah.
Because he's not asking for money, he's not asking for anything like that. He's asking for sight, and he's asking the Lord Jesus to give him sight. Now, the rich young ruler didn't really want sight. He just wanted to know what he had to do at that moment. He wasn't looking for biblical revelation, any insight on who Jesus was or anything like that. And this blind beggar says, "You're the Son of David. You know, you're the Messiah. You are the one." And so he's mercy. He's receiving it. And that's all he does is just simply say, "You're the Messiah," and bingo. And that's what happens when people come to the altar. They simply say, "Jesus, come into my heart."
You nailed it right there, Pastor. You said, "Jesus, Son of David." This beggar calls out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me."
Bingo.
He could already see. He could see spiritually.
Spiritually,
his eyes were already open.
That's a great point.
That just hit me while you were saying it. And I think that's what Jesus saw. Because how did this guy know I'm the Son of David? How does he know I'm the Messiah? He doesn't go to temple because he's injured. He can't go into the synagogue. He's, you know, he's unclean. But he had something. He had spiritual. He could already see.
So and he couldn't see.
but he couldn't see. But to open his eyes was nothing because he already had faith to know who Jesus was.
Yeah, because when you remember the rich young ruler, he said, "Good teacher."
Yeah.
"Good teacher. What must I do to inherit?" That's not the Messiah. He's not talking about good teacher. Okay, we know Jesus is a good teacher, but he's far more than that.
What are the rules I need to follow to get into heaven? What are the stipulations? And here the blind beggar says, "It's only you that can save me. You're the only one who can give me mercy."
And the best part about these kinds of stories is what it says. Luke says, immediately he received his sight, and then he followed Jesus.
Yeah.
Praising God. When all the people saw this, they also praised God. So he made when he was healed, he followed Jesus. He just right away, I would imagine that he was one of the 500 that followed Jesus everywhere, you know, everywhere you go, he probably followed him completely. I mean,
he had to be right there in that crowd. Yeah.
Yeah. To get completely healed.
Yeah.
And he receives his sight and he decides to follow Jesus and he begins praising God. Now that's something that's important because you follow Christ, but then all of a sudden, if you really know who he is, you want to praise him. You want to recognize him for who he is. And so he praises him. And then when all the people, they also praise God. So a wonderful miracle takes place and everybody's praising God except for maybe the synagogue and the people who are watching this. They're not too happy about this.
They don't, you know, the religious people of his time, they can't believe another miracle. This guy just keeps doing miracles. How does he do it? Why does he keep doing it? But he does, and these people are getting saved and they're praising him.
So this is Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed. Keep your eyes open and may you be spiritually enlightened at this Easter season. God bless you.